Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
7 the fan.
Raise the roof.
Sunday night, we're partying all night long. Very excited to get to the Rude Guest Hotline right now and talk to Matthew Berry, fantasy football analyst for NBC Sports. You can check out all of his content at Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life. Matthew, what's up, dude? Thanks for making time for us.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. Appreciate Just real quickly, fantasylife.com has all sorts of great information, but my specific content is over at nbcsports.com and rotoworld.com. So, but I do own Fantasy Life and encourage everyone to go check it out.
I read Love Hate every week, and I won a fantasy title this week, this year. So I feel good about all the advice I get from you, dude.
Let's go. Appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious for you, dude. You are a bird. Obviously, you cover the whole league. You're a part of Sunday Night Football, NBC Sports, the shows on Peacock. Like, you're all over the place. But I know what the burgundy and gold means to you. You've been a fan of this team a long time. How does it feel for you to be rooting, watching this team in an NFC Championship game?
I literally just did an episode of Happy Hour that'll be up on Peacock and the NFL and NBC YouTube channel later and wherever you get your podcast. And on that show, I said this. This game on Sunday is the most important game of my life. Far none. Because, again, I've been a Commanders fan since, Washington fan, whatever, since I was 5 years old. And so I, you know, and when I was a young man, like, you know, I lived through the Gibbs era. And obviously, and I was in college when the last time the Commanders were in a Super Bowl. But, you know, and while I was excited about it, I rooted for it, I wanted it to win, you know, and everything like that, I think I probably took it for granted or didn't totally appreciate the moment at the time. I was just like, you know, because in the Gibbs era, it was just like, oh, we're always good. And, you know, we won a bunch and, you know, we played in four Super Bowls. And so then, you know, Snyder taking over and just, you know, over two decades of being in the desert with not only, you know, the worst ownership in professional sports history, but, you know, poor on the field results and just, you know, never even competing, never even really having a chance. He had blips there, RG3's rookie year, you know, but for the most part, it's just we've been in the desert. And so now, finally, coming out of the desert and having hope and being one game away from the Super Bowl, a year after we won four games, a year in which we had a 6.5 game preseason win total. Vegas thought we were going to win six games this year, and we're one game away from the Super Bowl. Like, just knowing how hard it is to get back there with more adult eyes, more, you know, experienced eyes, JP. Mm-hmm. Like, sure. This is the most important game to me. I'm going to be a bundle of nerves because we got a shot. A shot to go to the big one.
We have a shot, and I think we talked to some people from Philly and a lot of people. They've been dismissive, and I believe when you're dismissive at this level, I can remember in 2002 being there. We were very dismissive of Tampa. They came in and beat us. And I believe Washington is on a roll right now where they can actually do the exact same thing because this team is not what they were before, and if they think that, Philly is going to be fooled.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll be honest with you. I wish we were playing the Rams. I don't love playing a team that's going to see us for a third time. But momentum is a real thing. And you know, B-Mitch, you can talk about this better than anyone. But, like, momentum and team and belief in yourself in that locker room, it's a real thing. And it means something, right? You know, Bill Simmons always likes to joke about the, you know, no one believed in us, you know, theme. And I truly believe that's with this Commanders. You know, we were almost double-digit underdogs to the Lions. We were underdogs to the Buccaneers. We're underdogs. We're almost a touchdown underdog to the Eagles this week. If we win, we will be an underdog to either the Chiefs or the Bills. You know, it is. No one believes in us, but those guys in that locker room, they believe in each other. And Philadelphia is an unbelievable team. Howie Roseman's put together a fantastic roster. Mm-hmm. But I think we got the better coach, and I think we got the better quarterback. And when you have the better ones of those two things, you got a chance.
I totally agree with you. Philly is loaded, but Jaden is the top of the list here. And I agree with you on DQ, too. Dan Quinn just was at the podium a few minutes ago and explained that over the last 6 weeks, 2 months, his team has gotten a lot better, a lot more resilient, mentally tougher. And I don't know that they don't, but I don't know that Philly has the mental toughness and resilience that Washington has put together. And I just feel like that could end up mattering this week.
It absolutely can be, especially because, by the way, so they're playing at Philadelphia. And, you know, that's a fan base that if Washington can get out to an early start, and this is what happened in Detroit, they got out to an early start and they quieted the crowd. Mm-hmm. And so if they can get out to an early start where they're in the game or even their lead, we get a quick turnover, something like that, like the Eagles fans will start booing their own team. Mm-hmm. We've seen that before. We've seen that this year. Like, that's, you know, that's a crowd that is not patient. And so I think that's going to be important. I think, you know, while the negative of facing this team for a third time, they've seen Jaden twice, they've seen the offense, they know how to sort of attack us. But the positives here is that I think this team from our side, from the Commander side, they've also seen the Eagles twice, mm-hmm. you know, and they're not going to be intimidated. I don't think they'll be intimidated by anyone, but if you can go in Detroit and beat the Lions, beat the number one seed, by two touchdowns, and honestly, it should have been a bigger victory because, you know, we missed the field goal at the end, and they should never have scored on the drive where they got the phantom face masking call.
Yeah.
Should have been an even bigger victory.
Yeah.
Like, there's absolutely no reason we can't beat this team, and I do think that's going to be important is having either an early lead or because there have been times this year where we've started slow and we've had to make the big comeback, including the last time we played Philly.
Yeah, it's been wild talking with Matthew Berry here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can check out all of his work over on NBC Sports, on the Peacock app. Watch him on Sunday Night Football. Give him a follow at Matthew Berry, TMR. Talented Mr. Roto. I remember those days, man. It's funny how long I've been following your content. What do you make of Jaden Daniels? The season he's put together, the young man we've gotten to know, just his level of poise, his composure, and what does it feel like to have that dude on the team you love?
I said this to Devin McCourty the other day, who was my colleague at NBC Sports and on Football Night America, and I said, I feel like this must be what it felt like when you were playing with Tom Brady. I'm in the sense that, like, Tom Brady's one of those guys. I think Mahomes is another one of those guys. And there's not many of them in the history of the NFL. You know, you think about Montana, right? There's guys where you're just like, if they get the ball back with 2 minutes, you'll figure out, all right, this is over. Mm-hmm. You know, the old phrase, have they left Mahomes too much time? Have they left Tom Brady too much time? And I think that's the way with Jaden Daniels. I've never felt this in my life before where I'm just like, all right, okay, good. We got the ball back. Good. We're winning this game. Mm-hmm. Faith in five, man. Like, like to have a quarterback like that where you just like you're no longer worried. You're just like, this dude's going to get it done. I don't know how, but he's going to turn around much like Tom Brady does, much like Patrick Mahomes does, much like some of the elite quarterbacks in the history of this game have just sort of said, hey, I'm putting on my Superman cape. Everyone get on my shoulders. I'm leading us to victory. We're going to go down and do this. And he's done it time and time again.
I think it's
the greatest rookie season I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I think when you see it one time, two times, you go, okay, that's okay. But he's done this, like, multiple times, like six times. Basically in a row.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's been incredible. And I can't remember who we had on the program the other day, but somebody said basically this should be the worst team Jaden ever plays with. Which is pretty crazy because it's like, you know, it's year one of this rebuild. It's year one of Adam Peters finding free agents and running draft classes. And it just Brian and I have kind of come up with this rule that we don't want to talk about all they've accomplished this year because there's a game to focus on. Eventually, though, that conversation is going to be lengthy and probably a little bit emotional. To stay with that, though, looking at this game this weekend – obviously, Saquon Barkley is the biggest threat. I know that just from you watching all the games and establishing who can do the most, how, if at all, can Washington slow down Saquon?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be important. I think the way it's gap control. It's being disciplined. And, you know, it's the old Dan Patrick phrase. I'm not sure we can stop them. I think, you know, we can only hope to contain them. And I think that's what you're hoping for. I think, you know, if we get out of the game and Saquon Barkley has 100 rushing yards instead of 200 rushing yards, I think we've got a pretty good shot of having the bigger score at the end of the game. Like, to me, I think Dan Quinn knows, has forgotten more about football than I'll ever know. But him and Joe Witt, my sort of, you know, surface-level analysis would be is that you put Lattimore on Brown, you put Sanistrill on Devontae Smith, and you try to more or less load the box, and you take your chances with Jalen Hurts beating you, right? I don't know if that's what you guys think is going to happen and where you, but I think you have to, you know, you're sort of picking your poison here with the Eagles because they are so good. That offensive line is so amazing, and Barkley is, you know, second to none. I think you have to try to slow him down because I will say we've struggled against the run, and I think that if the Lions had given Jahmyr Gibbs 30 to 35 touches instead of the you know, low 20s that they did, I think the Lions might have won that game. You know, he was just gashing us left and right. And luckily they took the ball out of Gibbs' hands and we were able to take the ball away. But that's going to be, I think the two keys to the game are, can we slow down Saquon Barkley, and can we protect Jaden? I'm nervous about Jalen Carter and his impact on this game, to be honest with you.
Understandably, dude. It's crazy because I have this theory, like, when it all boils down, you want the best O-line and D-line in the game, and I think they have the better of both of those. I think Philly's defense is probably the best single unit, but I do think Jaden's the best single player. And having that keeps everything else possible. You know, not to oversimplify it, but I think for Philly to win, they got to have a double-digit lead. And even saying that, they had a double-digit lead against Jaden in Week 16, and they still came back.
Yeah,
even with all the turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key. Look, anytime you've got, I mean, look, I thought the Texans, just taking out of this game for a second, just to that point, right? The Texans were the better team last week against the Chiefs. They were,
right?
But you know, the Kansas City had 15. And, you know, made the plays when he needed to make them. And so I just think it comes down to that. Ultimately, I think I'm with you on they have better lines on both sides of the ball. But I think, and this is a cliche, but I think it's going to come down to turnovers too. How did Philly beat the Rams? Because they easily could have lost the Rams. But, you know, they get the fumble from Kyron. You know, the Stafford loses the ball as well. Like, you know, they won the turnover battle against the Rams. And how did the Commanders win? They won the turnover battle against Detroit, and they won the turnover battle against Tampa Bay. That's what made the difference in both of those games is they, you know, they were able to get the ball, get extra possessions from the Lions and the Buccaneers. Same with the Eagles. And so, because the Rams defense played well. I mean, whatever, Saquon broke one off late. But, you know, overall, I thought that loss wasn't on the Rams defense.
Totally, man. And I think Carter kind of took over late in that game and just got Stafford on the ground. What do you think, and I know how wired in you are around the league, how healthy do you think Jalen Hurts is?
I don't think he's healthy at all. And so that's going to be one of the things. Like, I think you noticed in the second Philadelphia game that, you know, we overall did a pretty good job of containing Saquon. I know we broke the late one, but the second game, I'm sorry, he broke a late one in the first one. In the second game, with the comeback game, once Jalen Hurts went out and Kenny Pickett came in, we did a pretty good job of containing Saquon because that RPO wasn't nearly as effective. You didn't have the threat of Jalen Hurts keeping it and running 20, 30, 40 yards himself. And so I think if I was, you know, DQ and Joe Witt or whatever, I might say, like, I'm going to make Jalen Hurts prove to me that he's healthy enough to keep it and run. And I'm going to pretend that he's not this threat. And I'm just going to focus on Saquon. And, you know, if Jalen breaks off a long one and we're like, okay, he's healthy, and then we can adjust. But I don't think he is. I think he's going to be out there at less than 100%, which is obviously not only an advantage to the Commanders, but I think does hurt their run game because their O-line is great, Barkley's great, but just the threat of Hurts and that RPO style of offense that they run is something that also springs Barkley for some of these big runs.
Totally.
Yeah.
How do you feel? So Matthew, I don't know if you'll agree with this, but I know you are a serious lifelong Burgundy and Gold fan. I wanted them to get Tampa in the first round because I thought they could beat Tampa. Frankly, by the time we got down there and I saw the crowd and I could feel the vibe, I thought they would beat Tampa. Going to Detroit, I liked their chances because I just thought that Detroit defense wasn't good enough to slow down Jaden and an explosive offense. Going into Philly, I don't know what's going to happen. Did you feel some similar confidence in the first two, and how do you feel about this one?
I did. I felt very similar confidence that I mean, on Football Night in America, I made my best bet. I do parlays and
sure.
bets, and my best bet against the Tampa Bay was Commanders money line. And as part of my parlay, one of my lines was Commanders +3. I was just like, I think they're winning this game. I think they're the better team. Tampa Bay's get the home game because they, you know, it took them to the last week to win the worst division in football. Commanders
right.
won a couple more games. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then Detroit, same thing. I thought their defense was so beat up, and I said, I thought it was crazy that the line opened at 9.5. I'm like, Commanders haven't lost a game by more than 8 points all year long. The last game they lost by more than 8 points was week 1 against the Bucs.
That's crazy.
So the fact that this game on Sunday, like, I like the Commanders to cover if you want to just talk, you know, sports betting for a second.
Sure.
I know a lot of people like the Eagles getting the points, but giving the points, I'm sorry. But I disagree. I don't think they get blown out of this game. I don't think the Commanders do. I felt that way. And going into Detroit, I said, if they can turn it into a track meet, they've got a chance because their defense isn't great. We won 3 straight road games, but this will be our first road game outdoors in bad weather. In cold weather, right? Because the Tampa Bay game was nice weather and Detroit was indoors. So I'm nervous about that, and I'm nervous about the third time. I still just sort of, again, this might be me looking through through burgundy and rose-colored glasses, but I think we win, man. Like, I don't feel super confident about it. I felt much more confident the previous two games, but I think we win. I think we, you know, we are playing at a higher level. And when it comes down to those clutch moments, give me Jaden Daniel over Jalen Hurts. Give me DQ over Nick Sirianni. When it comes down to those, you know, got to have it moments. They're a fantastic team. Howie Roseman's done a great job. And, like, I don't mean to denigrate them. Jalen Hurts is still, like, a top 12 quarterback in the NFL. Like, he's just not 5.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like you, Matthew, and I'm also they hoping we get a little bit little love from the universe because that day is January 26th, and I remember that day very vividly. 1992.
As do I. Not as well as you, but I mean, I do, man. Believe me. I will say this. You know, JP, you talk about me sort of on a national level, right? I will say
right.
this. I think the Commanders are being universally rooted for, right? I don't think anyone wants to see a Chiefs or Eagles rematch Super Bowl. I think everyone wants to see the Bills get there, and everyone wants to see the Commanders get there outside of the greater Philadelphia and Kansas City areas.
Agreed.
You know, just I think nationally, it's both the Bills and the Commanders have just extremely high approval ratings. It's such a great story with Jaden Daniels. You know, I don't know if you saw this, but I forget who put it out. Somebody from Good Morning Football put this tweet out, which is of all the rookie quarterbacks. I apologize, but of all the rookie quarterbacks that have played in a championship game, an NFC or AFC championship game, he put out like what their defensive ranks were. You know,
sure.
Sanchez, Brock Purdy, Roethlisberger, Sean King with the Buccaneers, all these guys, all of them had a top 3 defense that year. Jaden Daniels has got defense number 18.
Says
like,
a lot.
You know,
man.
what he's done, and also, again, like, you know, again, because I think everyone in the Commanders has played well, but give me Jaden Daniels behind the Lions offensive line. Give me Jaden Daniels behind the Eagles offensive line, and let me see what he could do.
those weapons.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I totally agree. This season for the Burgundy and Gold feels like there is a level of momentum and just some intangible stuff that you can't necessarily quantify, but whatever that is, they've got it.
Yeah.
You could make an argument, JP, again, I mean no disrespect because I love all of our coaches, but you could make an argument. I've made this point on my show before. That Jaden Daniels, who last year at LSU played with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. as his two best wide receivers, is actually playing with a worse supporting cast this year in Washington than he did last year at college.
That's crazy.
Yeah. All three of them are rookie of the year, too.
That's crazy.
All three of them on the top five rookie of the year list.
That's a great point. Matthew, man, thank you for making time
Appreciate you, Matt, dude.
This was a lot of fun, and maybe we'll have to do it again in New Orleans.
I would absolutely love that. I'm going to be praying, guys, but appreciate the time. It's always a thrill to talk Commanders. And JP, I always thank you. Whenever I have a Commanders question, I just text JP privately. I appreciate you always answering my texts and giving into my fandom as well. You've been a good friend for a long time. So appreciate
anytime.
You guys. And, you know, hail the Commanders, hail victory.
All right. Hi, thank you, man.
Take care, man.
Matthew Berry, NBC Sports, Sunday Night Football, talented Mr. Roto, fantasylife.com, all of it. That dude has built an empire and is really, really good at his job and a really, really nice human. Really glad we got to have Matthew on. I can only imagine how amped up he is going to be for that game on Sunday.
Yep.
We're all going to be amped up, and it's because the action is heating up. This playoff season at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Obviously, Sunday we know the deal. Commanders-Eagles, 3 o'clock. Commanders are getting 6. I love that. I love that. I think to get there, you're going to need Jaden to throw it. I like his over on his passing yards prop. I've been hitting that for weeks. No fading Jaden. You know the deal. The other game, Bills-Chiefs, it is hard to pick against those Kansas City Chiefs. I understand that. But it does, like, somewhere in my soul feel like we're getting this Washington-Buffalo rematch from that 1991 season. There's a ton more bets on the ESPN Bet Sportsbook you can check out in advance of conference championship weekend. They've got all the point spreads, all the player props, all the totals, whatever it is you're looking for, ESPN Bet has got it. And new ESPN Bet Sportsbook customers can get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. And you can unlock 30 days of ESPN Plus. Download the app and sign up with promo code RADIO to get started today. Odds are subject to change. You got to be in Maryland or Virginia to play. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Lot to be excited about, man, if you're a fan of these Washington Commanders. And, dude, I think it's worth pointing this out. For all the talk of Lance Newmark going to the Jets with Aaron Glenn, Newmark was at practice 20 minutes ago when the media was there. I mean, talking with Dan Quinn, talking with Adam Peters. Now, maybe even if you know you're going to take that job, you just don't do it till season's over or whatever. But typically, there are front office folks that would bounce. He could. Whatever's going to happen doesn't appear to have happened today. I can tell you that because I'm looking at Newmark here. Thank you, Brian. We haven't had much opportunity to check in with the boys in the aquarium, and I'd like to do it now. Lamphill, you're a very measured fella. I would say you often – it takes a lot to have you very riled up. How you feeling about where this Commanders team, organization, where things are going right now, 2 days out from the NFC title game?
I feel great about where the team is. Like, it's – they just really got in charge of things back in January, and we're already in the – January a year ago, and we're already in the championship game. Things are going great.
Says a lot.
It really does, dude. And – why, Brian, this might make me the happiest of all the questions I'm going to ask. As a Giants fan, how do you feel about what's going on in Washington?
It's slightly terrifying. But it's also nice that the Cowboys are kind of in limbo now. So I've been dealing with them and the Eagles being good. Now it's just Washington and the Eagles being good.
Yeah, dude, it's funny, for a very, very long time, Washington fans had to kind of just live in this world of, hey, it's great to see other teams suck.
Yeah.
That doesn't, like, I don't care as much about, I mean.
I don't care about the other team. I care about our team being good.
Right.
To hell with them.
Right. I totally agree. And the opportunity before them, I don't know what's up with Jalen Hurts, dude. I don't think anybody does. It's hard for me to think he won't be a little beat up, frankly. Yeah. I think if they have to rely on Hurts in the pocket to win, I like Washington's chances a lot. Mm-hmm. Jeff, I have a very specific piece of information for you. Ethan Cadeau reporting that while the media was at practice today, they played four songs during warmups. Two by Meek Mill, one by Lil Uzi Vert, and one by Freeway. How do you feel about them playing all Philly beats on Philly Week, Jeffrey?
That's what they're going to play.
I mean, that's what they're going to hear. You know,
I love it. I think that's an F you.
I mean, they not even – the way this team is, they probably just playing their music because they know the stadium going to be loud and they just using it as practice. I don't think they worried about anything Philly-wise except for that Philly football team.
Bro, the best honestly, until these last two, but the best regular season, I'll say, locker room vibe. I don't know, the Hail Mary. This year kind of changed every previous ranking, right? But prior to this year, the most fun post-game locker room I had been in a long time was after the Skins beat the Eagles up there in that Monday night game mm-hmm. when Philly was undefeated. And Jeremy Reeves, I'll never forget it. He had the giant, like, boombox-looking speaker, and they were just cranking Dreams and Nightmares over and over and over. And it was – there was absolutely a factor of
– They played Eminem when we played Detroit.
Right. Like, during that week. I like doing this. Yeah. Like you know what you're getting into, and you know
– We played Eminem, and they played Jell-O.
Right.
What the hell was that?
Jell-O was something else. Also, he's got to come up with a cooler name.
Yeah.
I guess LeAngelo, is that how he comes up with it?
Yeah, but Jell-O, G-E-L-O.
It's bad.
It wasn't good. I mean, he didn't sound very good.
Jeff, what do you think of that dude?
He has an amazing father that really invests in all of his dreams. That's what I think.
Yo, but he's getting legit paid off of this.
He got
stuff,
15
right?
million up front right here, Jeff.
When you have a vehicle like that supporting you, yo, when you, because all a song takes is the right promotion scheme, you know? They able to get it to, like, the players and get on that straight. Oh, man, smart marketing. Yo, he did it right. He did it the right way. And any rapper out here that's hating on Jell-O, you can't hate because he just did it the right way.
Yeah, he better keep doing it the right way, though, Jeff, because he better follow up that song with a better one. And next time he perform, he better damn be better than what he was that time.
Boy.
Yeah, because
he's not going on tour no time soon.
He did not strike me as a performer.
Bruh.
And it's crazy because Lonzo wrote the song.
The one that's actually playing?
Yeah. Lonzo Ball wrote the song.
The dad.
No.
That's the dad, right?
No.
No, the dad's Lamar.
Lamar, yeah. Lonzo is the oldest. He's the older brother, right?
Yeah. He wrote the song.
The song is a little catchy. The dude is a 0 out of 10 as far as a performer. Like, I don't know. I wasn't particularly impressed by Mr. Ball. Good old Jell-O.
Yeah, Tanner kept telling me that Jell-O was playing. Jell-O was playing these stuff. I said, who the hell is this? And he just died laughing because he knew I wouldn't like the song.
I didn't think the song was that bad.
I think the song was bad.
It's
the way he performed it made it seem bad.
He was quite boring.
Yeah. The chorus is good.
Yeah, it's a little catchy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Gosh, I can't believe
we're kind of like 1-800-CALLS-FOR-KIDS. Catchy too.
Yo, 1-877-CALLS-FOR-KIDS.
That's catchy too.
Yo, that is the catchiest. They've probably been playing it during the breaks, but for everybody on the stream or listening on the pod, I'm gonna get it stuck in your head right now. 1-877-CALLS-FOR-KIDS.
It gets stuck.
Donate your car today. It's the most. stuck in your head commercial of
all time.
Whoever
wrote that one, that's a good dude. He knew what he was doing.
Costanza. All right, here's what we're going to do. We got to make some bets when we come back. We're going to see if we hear from Peter. If not, it's bet time. Nobody go anywhere. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Grant and Danny coming your way next. I think they're in studio today. Tomorrow they're going to be at Caddy's in Bethesda.
Caddy's? I used to be there a lot when I was working over there at Comcast.
Yeah, we've both done some times at Caddy's.
I've gone there in between, like, before work and after.
They got good wings, dude.
Yeah.
Nikki just posted this. Nikki Javala, Washington Post, and it's perfect. A year ago, the Commanders had an AstroTurf field that they couldn't practice on. That was the closest field to the locker room. Now they are practicing on a grass field that they heated up in advance of the NFC title game. Like, for people that don't realize it, they all saw the old AstroTurf getting ripped up because it was terrible. That's the field they're practicing on today in advance of the NFC title game. There's something highly poetic about that.
Yeah.
Like, out with the old. I mean, it's just
out with the old, in with the new, baby.
It's very.
But they're doing the little things that matter. As I said earlier, people are wondering why they want to warm up a field when you're not using it. It gets very hard, and those spikes do not go into it. You don't want guys out there slipping and hurting themselves.
Sure.
So you warm it up, and you know what? Guys get to get a real day of practice, but they got to go out there in the weather because we're talking about 40 degrees possibly on Sunday. That's during the day.
Right.
You know, as it starts to get closer to 3 o'clock and that wind starts coming off that little water, that, those little rivers that pop up in there, it gets a lot chillier.
Yeah, I think it's not going to be anything crazy like we've seen over the past years or whatever, or even the snow they played in last week. But I think at kickoff on Sunday, it'll be 38. And then by the time the game ends, it'll be 25. These guys will be fine, but you got to practice outdoors at least today. I won't be shocked if they're out there tomorrow too. But you gotta be out there a little bit to kind of get used to all of it, man. I can't wait for this ball game. It's gonna be so much fun. Let's get some bets in though. It's time for Heard It Here First.
Heard It Here First. Heard It Here First.
Brian?
3-0.
Who's 3-0?
JP and Landfill.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. South Carolina should have won that game last night, but they choked it away and lost by one. But they were plus 11, B.
Who I take last night? I forgot.
You took the Thunder minus 16.
What did they do?
They won by 3 or 4.
Oh, man. Chumps.
Can I get real quick, can I do an early Ask B. Mitch Anything question?
Yeah.
My boy Will Siegel just texted me. Did you ever do an Eastern Motors commercial?
No.
Okay. Well, there's your answer. Go ahead, Brian. What did
I'm friends with the dude though.
Yeah, they're super nice family.
Yeah.
Jeff is 0-3 for the week.
Yep.
God, Jeff, that's terrible, dog.
You're terrible, Jeff.
That's terrible. I have an idea, B.
What you got?
Jeff can put in a 3-game parlay to try to win 3 tonight. You
all
right?
Yeah, he went all 3 of them?
You got to win all 3 of them.
That.
Jeff, you are approved for a 3-game parlay tonight, dude. What do you got?
And none of them could be money line.
All right.
That makes it a lot more difficult.
Okay.
I'd be willing to let him have money line. He still ain't picking 3.
Give me William and Mary over Hampton minus 6.5.
Why you got to go at Hampton, huh?
Hey, yo. I got to pull this off. Give me minus 12.5 Memphis over Wichita State. And I'm going to take Louisiana with the plus 5.5 against Texas State.
There's no way you want him betting on your college.
Man, don't bet on my college, man.
Nah, I did that just for you.
Well, I'm sure he's thrilled.
I'm about to call him right now and say, y'all losing tonight.
Caps play tonight, 10 o'clock in Seattle. Landfill, what do you like tonight?
I'm going with a parlay. I'm taking Illinois minus 7.5 and Texas State minus 5.5.
Yo, why is the Wizards game postponed? Bad weather in Utah?
They're playing in L.A.
Utah's playing in L.A.?
The Wizards are playing in L.A.
Now, they played the Lakers earlier.
The Clippers.
What?
The Wizards are playing the Clippers, fool.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
That is interesting. On my joint, you're right. It says Wizards-Clippers, but it also says Wizards-Jazz postponed.
It must be the next game.
That's weird. What do you got tonight, B?
Man, I don't have a clue. I'm going to take the Milwaukee Bucks, -7.5.
You know that your alma mater, Texas State, Louisiana Lafayette, you know that's a big game when it tips off at 4 o'clock on a Thursday.
Nah, they're just trying, they can get there because it's snowing in every place down there.
That might be
what's going on
down there. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's scurry right now.
Are you parlaying or are you in?
Oh, you know, I'm waiting till the end to do it.
I know you.
Luka is still hurt. Give me the Hawks -4.5.
God, Brian. Brian, this is an awful night of college hoops, huh?
Yeah, it's not great.
I mean, I legit haven't heard of, like, any of these schools.
They say JP is so confused.
Bro, I got nothing here. Oh, the Turtles play tonight? You didn't tell me that? Son of a...
man.
I get a touchdown with the Terps on the road in Illinois? To hell with Illinois. Give me the Turtles +7.5. That's not a real bet, by the way. I'm 3-0 on the week in real bets. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Thank you to Hugh Douglas and Joe Giglio for joining us. Thank you to Ross Tucker for joining us.
One day we're going to have to fight them, JP. I'll take on Hugh. You take Joe.
All right. I don't know anything about it. We'll see how it goes. Thank you to Matthew Berry for joining us. Awesome day. Tomorrow we're going to make sure we make time for the phone lines. Got to talk to the people in advance of the NFC title game. Grant and Danny coming your way next. Those boys are fired up. It's championship week on the Fan.
Somebody say you need a nap, Jay.
I probably do. You made it this far. You know what I need? Give you a beer.